from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and mother, so that in your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." This evening, we've been reading the scripture that is the Ten Commandments. Now, sometimes the Ten Commandments are sort of hard for us to listen to, because in some ways, they're so well known. We've heard them many times. We've seen them in places on those stone tablets since childhood. We've seen the movies, whether it's a child's cartoon or Charlton Heston's Ten Commandments. But I want you to forget all that for a minute and just imagine being there and hearing these words for the first time. And imagine what it would be like to hear these words from God, to hear these promises, a promise that the same God who just delivered you from slavery is going to be your God forever. And this God wants to be in relation with you and wants to give you a way to be holy. Nobody is letting these words go in one ear and out the other. Nobody is only half listening. The Ten Commandments don't need all the special effects that our movies always put in. This invitation, this opportunity to live as holy people, this glimpse of a way of life with God, well, that's more amazing than a lightning bolt or fire or giant stone tablets that movies might portray. The words in the scripture are an encounter with the raw holiness of God. They are the creator of the universe, entering into creation and giving a whole new way of life, a better and more abundant life. Now you might be thinking, a whole new way of life, a better life? That's not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are just a list of things I'm not allowed to do. They're just rules given to us by a God in the Old Testament. If anything, they make life less fun. But there's actually a lot of promise and hope in the Ten Commandments. We need to remember to actually start at the beginning of the scripture we've been reading. Now, our Jewish friends actually do a better job at this than us Christians, because in the Jewish tradition, this scripture, it's referred to as the Ten Words and not the Ten Commandments. And the first word for them is not actually our first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It's actually what comes before that even in the scripture. Listen again to the first two verses of Exodus 20. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The first word in the Jewish tradition is not a commandment at all, but a promise. It's God's part of a covenant, that God will be their God, that God is a God who delivers, who saves people, who brought them out of Egypt, showing us that God walked with them. He didn't just deliver them and then leave. I think we'd do well to adopt this tradition from our Jewish siblings and always frame this scripture as words from God and not just commandments, and starting with a promise of who God is in our lives. We start with a promise that God delivers us today, that God saves us today, that God is with us today. And then we have to believe that God, who wants to do all these things, also wants us to have the better life. The important thing to realize, though, is that our ideas of what the best life might be may not be what God thinks a best life is. Therefore, we need the rest of these words from God. So God starts by telling us that the best way to live is by first loving God. The first half of these commandments, from having no other God to keeping the Sabbath, are all about how we love God. The first half of our response is to love God. Then the second half, the ending words from honor your parents to do not covet, they're about how we love others. Because our lives are not just lived with us and God, but with other people as well. Part of living the best life, according to God, is about how we interact with other people. We have the most abundant life when we love God and love others. So with that in mind, let us consider how following these words of God may, in fact, lead us to living not just better lives, but more abundant lives, lives lived to the fullest. First, we already kind of talked about this, but we live more abundant lives when we trust in the promise of God to save us, to deliver us, and to be with us. When we have faith in God, our lives are more abundant, not just here and now, but for all eternity. Our lives are more abundant when we have no other gods but our true God. Why? Because no other God that we make up has the power to actually save or deliver or be with us like the real God does. Life with another God might work for a while, but you won't experience the fullness of life that's given to you by God if you aren't actually putting God first in your life. And that goes along great with the next word, to have no idols. We actually have a more abundant life when we don't worship idols. Now, to be clear, an idol isn't just a gold statue you might bow down to. An idol is anything that you make more important than God. That could mean money or work or pride or power. The list goes on and on. Just think about all the idols that we're tempted to have. But the scripture says our life is better without them. And that's true. You know why? Your life is more abundant when God comes first. Because when you put God first, you have actual freedom. You have actual peace. You have actual trust of the Savior and Deliverer. Next, we live a more abundant life when we don't take God's name in vain. Now, often we only think of this commandment about not using God's name in profanity, which is part of it, but it's also more than that. This means that we don't use God's name to make ourselves look better. We don't use God's name to get what we want. We don't do things like telling a person we'll pray for them and then not doing it, or trying to sound more impressive to say that. In other words, the commandment is really about having a real relationship with God, a relationship that's about more than outward appearance. Our final God word is about Sabbath. It's the longest commandment in the scripture, and to be honest, probably one we need most in our world today. Because we aren't great at stopping and resting. And yet what God is telling us here is that stopping and resting is a more abundant way to live. Because it helps us to see that the world does not revolve around us. The world doesn't stop when we stop. Then we move on to the words about how we love others. The commandments about how our relationships with others can lead us to a more abundant life. And we begin with a word about honoring parents. Though like all these commandments, this one could require a lot more unpacking, but we're going quickly. So let us consider that honoring parents or other people in authority over us isn't necessarily about always agreeing with them, but it's about respecting the opinions and listening to the advice of others, especially those with more wisdom than you. Our relationships with others, especially those in authority over us, are better when we realize that we don't actually know everything, and that somebody else might actually have more wisdom about life than we do. Then finally comes all those quick commandments at the end. Do not murder, do not commit adultery. These are about valuing the lives of others and valuing our closest relationships. And we can put the last three together. Don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. These words, they're all about being content in our own lives, in our relationships with others. Now, I know that was a quick go-through of the Ten Commandments. We could have spent 10 weeks on the Ten Commandments. But hearing these words, remember that because of the promise of God to save us, to deliver us, to be with us, we can respond by following his words to live a more abundant life. So as people who receive the grace of God, live a more abundant life. These words, they're not just commandments. They're a better way to live.